Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Nothing Impossible on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome into the show where we help you understand what's happening next in St. Louis, especially when it comes to technology, the jobs of the future, and the tech that we're going to see all around us. Michael Calhoun.
And Travis Sheridan. We are always in a world of buzzwords, it seems like. I mean, innovation is a buzzword. Geospatial is a buzzword. You know, biotech is a buzzword. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it's about making us live on a planet maybe a little bit better.
Yeah. And geospatial, you've no doubt, I don't think you've been able to consume any media or go out, you know, in St. Louis without hearing the word geospatial as our future for this region. But what is geospatial, and why are people saying that that's the future for us?
Well, and I think that if we all have walk around with these digital computers in our pockets, right, our phones and whatnot, and I think every time you're opening an app, it says, do you want to share your location? What does that really mean?
And some of them you're like, why do you need my location?
Yeah,
why does this app need
right.
my location?
Yeah, and what kind of industries are using that location data, and what are they using it for?
And then when it comes to that momentum, I mean, just this week, we're going to bring you a couple of interviews from news stories of two companies who decided to put their big operations for GIS and geospatial in St. Louis. One of them is a Colorado-based company that not only analyzes geospatial information, satellite imagery, they make the satellites, too, that go up there. So that's really cool. Going into the same building is a Swedish company that's also in the geospatial space. They maintain geographical information, charts, maps. Both of those are customers of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, that big spy agency that's building its headquarters in North St. Louis. And then we've got all the efforts designed to help bolster St. Louis for the future of this, which we'll get into.
Yeah, because if you think about, you know, these disparate activities, companies moving here, students graduating from university, younger people being interested in these career fields, there needs to be a concerted and coordinated effort so we can get the most out of it. And so we will talk about GeoFutures, a group that's being assembled here in St. Louis with a number of thought leaders and civic leaders that are really making sure that we do this in a strategic and good way.
So we've got, here's what's coming up. We've got Maxar Technologies from Colorado. We've got T. Kartor from Sweden. They're both building big operations here. We're going to talk with GeoFutures, which is a new effort to create an ecosystem for these kinds of companies and training and technology and investment here. And then we're going to finish it up with one of the established companies that's already here, that's growing in St. Louis, and which powers a lot of maps behind the scenes on software you might use, Esri. So a lot coming up on the show.
So as you're driving around and your car is moving from location to location, keep it on this station and listen to what we're going to say.
We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to Nothing Impossible on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
All right. Our very own Alex Degman had a chance to chat with Simon Bailey, the USA CEO for T. Kartor, about their decision to come to St. Louis.
So, Simon, you mentioned that the NGA is a big client for you. So before I get into the details of what T. Kartor is, was it a coincidence that you chose the Globe Building, given the fact that NGA is going to be operating basically a mile from there?
Well, I mean, that definitely went into our decision-making process. We were looking at actually three different options, one of them being, of course, the over at the T-Rex building, one of being over in Cortex area, one buying our own building. Actually, we were actually looking at some pieces of real estate over on the Washington corridor that we may want to actually purchase. And at the end of the day, When we focused on the Globe Building, it made too much sense from not just the data fiber speeds, the actual facility itself, the ability it's going to give us to expand, and you know, we're not really a startup company, so it didn't make sense to go to certain locations where the globe seemed to be more of a fit for us as a scale-up situation that we're under to suit all our needs for not just the growth we've been seeing, which right now has been double the size where we were a year ago, where we've gone from basically 35 people a year ago to we'll be employing 70 people in the St. Louis area before the end of this year.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you mentioned that the infrastructure for the Globe building is perfect, and we and Tucker and Washington, that whole area, the Gigabyte Corridor is what it's kind of referred to in some circles. Besides that, what about the building itself? Because that's almost a 500,000 square feet of real estate in there. How much of that do you plan on taking up?
Well, we're not going too crazy, right? We're doing what makes sense. But we are taking up about 4,000 to 5,000 square feet now. In fact, when we originally started doing the build out with Steve Stone and the Globe Building management over there, we had originally designed it to suit some of the needs we are currently seeing about a year ago. What's happened to us is we're actually planning on breaking ground really tomorrow night. Actually, we're having a big networking reception over there tomorrow. We're co-sponsoring an event with the Globe Building and Maxar that'll take place tomorrow night between 4 and 7. Anybody listening to this, welcome to attend if they want to show up and check out the digs. But we are in a situation where we've actually already seeded the build-out, what we started proposing a year ago, due to the exponential growth we've been undertaking. The nice part about the situation we're in with them is we are able to already facilitate additional space on the same floor to continue growing as needed. They're very easy to work with. It's allowing us to build up. The physical security of the building, too, is important to us. As we're doing, as you know, with NGA, the work we're doing, data security, physical security, all paramount, and the Globe facility really offers all those needs where we can even build out a more secure environment if needed. We have basically secured in-ground parking in the building, which is a nice benefit because we have a lot of people that need to work around the clock to deal with surge support from the government on different crisis missions that might be going on. And it really fits a multitude of our needs that we don't have currently.
Where was the American headquarters for T. Carter previously? And besides the forthcoming NGA, was there anything else that made you decide that St. Louis was the place to go?
So we were actually located in St. Louis over in the Blonky building over by Farina previously.
Oh, okay. I know where that's at. Right?
And yeah, so we actually were looking at, we had to make a decision. Were we going to stay in the St. Louis area or were we going to actually think about going out of the St. Louis area? That was kind of an easy decision to make because of all the stuff going on with NGA and all the geospatial really, I don't want to call it hype because it's just the growth that they're seeing in every aspect of geospatial work, not just with NGA, but with the city itself, all the companies that are coming to the area making investments into the geospatial network, if you'd say, not even if it's directly supporting NGA, but from different avenues like Monsanto with the agricultural side and the other support structures that geospatial services can offer in other areas of business. So with us, it came to, we wanted to be more in a centrally located position. NGA was moving, the Gigabit Corridor, definitely, it's not named that for any lack of reason. It's, the fiber is driving right through there into the city, through the Globe building, through multiple data, providers in that building that are actually servicing, the St. Louis area. The infrastructure in that building has, I mean, there's an Ameren substation on site. We can't afford to have any downtime. With the substation there, the data fiber companies there, that's the place that is going to allow us to not have any downtime and be able to support round the clock if needed. And also, I mean, I make jokes to the staff now that if a zombie apocalypse happened, this is the building you want to be in St. Louis.
Well, it looks that way, certainly. I mean, from the outside, it looks very fortified. And, I mean, you keep talking about security, and there's, you know, there's no question about that. That seems to be one of the most secure buildings downtown. It seems like not more than 3 weeks ago, I was talking with somebody about the development of the old Post-Dispatch building and what they want to do in that area, creating a new innovation district, kind of, I guess, a la Cortex or something like that. And then not even like 3 weeks later, this announcement comes. Is this indicative of the momentum that you think that area is going to be seeing over the next few years?
Definitely. I think one of the things that we are wanting to do is make sure we get over in the area early before it gets crazy. And I like to think we're going to be one of the at least in the geospatial world we're in with NGA, we're going to be one of the direct linchpins of growth in that gigabit corridor because of the benefits it offers. I mean, Maxar itself choosing to actually locate an office over there and then being the size of the company they are is more evidence that this that the Globe building is situated perfectly. And let's face it, I mean, other areas in there, like T-Rex and all them, have already blown up. They're already hitting capacity. So, this whole area right around there, along with what you mentioned earlier, what Square's doing just adjacent, and all the jobs they're going to be adding, is really going to be a nice place to be at. And I really see growth with the restaurants and stuff that already Washington has going on, just further growth of that area.
Can you tell me what else besides your contract with NGA and data security, what else does T. Carter do? Do you work with municipalities? Do you work with local governments? Who are some of your other clients?
So, yeah, some of our clients, big clients are the New York City DOT, Department of Transportation, and New York City MTA. In fact, with New York City DOT, we do all the they had a project for Walk NYC, which is all the city wayfinding totems around the city for the infrastructure of walking around and getting around the city for city wayfinding. It's all done by us. We actually have a contract. We're working with the City of Toronto to do something similar that we did with New York City already. We actually, this all started from a big contract T. Carter won with in the City of London called Legible London, where he worked with Transport for London, developing something similar with all the mapping needs that the city has, infrastructure-wise, subway maps, to really help cities, large cities, with moving people cleanly and quickly to the city to, A, reduce the carbon footprint, and to create healthy options that really facilitate not just rapid movement of the city and dealing with the globs of traffic patterns and all that can happen, but just, keeping up with basically a more of a climate focus on helping reduce all of the bad things to go with carbon emissions and everything else. And mapping and geospatial data is a key way to help facilitate that.
You mentioned that the build-out has already started. When can we expect employees to start moving in there if they haven't already?
So the build-out actually is done with the exception of the furniture. Like I mentioned earlier, there's a big networking, kind of a pre-open house where you can come tomorrow night and check out the facility. Everything but the furniture is in place. We actually are going to be having the furniture built in and actually having employees be operational on October 21st is our plan right now in that facility.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really quick. it just seems to move a lot faster than anything else.
We're moving along. We're not messing around. And, one of the big things for us is, our biggest commodity at T. Carter is really our people and our staff. And, the Globe and the build-out we're doing is also going to help us attract a younger workforce. And, that's another reason for the key of being over in that area. Where we're over at now on the other side of the city, it's not been built out enough yet. There's not walkability. We're trying to attract, a younger generation from not just current St. Louis people, but also from outside the St. Louis area to move here and become part of this great city and what things are good off.
Coming up next, we will continue the discussion about Geospatial, and why another company moved here from Colorado.
Colorado-based Maxor Technologies, Senior Director Mike Gourley. So, first of all, talk to me about the infrastructure of the building, because like I mentioned T. Carter USA, I talked with a little bit earlier this week. They're also moving into the Globe, talking about the right. infrastructure and just the internet speed, the fact that there's an Ameren substation right in the building. Is that important to what you do, and how big of a factor did the infrastructure of the area play into this decision?
It's very important. High-speed internet, our understanding is that that's probably the fastest line in St. Louis, and that's definitely a factor that weighs in. And then the power setup. Again, I don't know the right nomenclature and stuff, but my understanding is that power will never go out in that building. So that's for a company like ours, that's extremely important, especially as we think about the potential of other operations that we might move in there over the next couple of years.
And is this going to be a new office that the company's opening up, or are you moving from somewhere else?
So we have had, we've had temporary space in the St. Louis area for probably the last 2 years. So we've moved around a little bit. There's only, I think there's 14 of us right now. And so, to answer your question, I guess in a shorter way, this will be a new location for us.
Up until, I believe it was 2013, there was also a Digital Earth office here. Was the decision to close that office part of the current company, or was that previous management?
That was previous management. So that was, that wasn't actually Digital Globe, it was GOI, and there was a merger of companies, I think Digital Globe and GOI at the time. And so there was a lot of redundancy, and so that was the reason they closed that office. But it was definitely under a different management structure and philosophy.
Okay, very good. So the Globe building is among the closest that are in that area to NGA. What benefits do you get from being so close geographically to NGA? And as a follow-up to that, do you anticipate that this office will mainly focus on the needs of NGA?
This office will, predominantly we're going to focus on NGA needs. We have a number of contracts with NGA. We're kind of scattered across the country. And even though those contracts will still be predominantly served in those areas, we want to have close by presence, because you know, it's always good to be close to your customer if there's special questions or meetings and stuff, so that you have representation here. Unlike some other companies, we're going to be representing a number of different contracts the company has with NGA, rather than just one large contract where we do, say, production, and that's all we do. So it's more diversified.
When do you expect the build-out of your new space to be completed, if it's not already, and when do you expect to occupy the space?
It's under construction, and by all hopes and being told, we're looking about January 15th for a grand opening ribbon cutting.
And I think I saw something about, you said you were at about 14 employees in the area right now, and I think I saw something somewhere that you were looking to go up to about 50.
Yeah, the initial run-up will be to about 50.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is part of a larger company that has offices worldwide, about 5,800 employees. Can you tell me a little bit about what else Maxor Technologies does besides just the geospatial aspects of everything?
Oh, well, predominantly we fly satellites. We have a number of observation platforms that we use. We sell that imagery to governments and quite a bit commercially as well. So that's probably our bread and butter.
Do you get the sense that there is a certain deal of momentum? We talked about a few minutes ago, we talked about a potential trend of more geospatial agencies or those who serve the geospatial agencies moving closer. But what do you think about that area just north of Washington? Does it seem like that could eventually be the place to be?
I think so. I think, you know, just not knowing the area that well. I mean, I am from the St. Louis area, but just taking a look at it, it seems like it's going to follow the same trend that the campus east out in the Springfield or DC area did, which was these areas that were, you know, that weren't that built out or whatever, if that's the right word. They were, they took quite a turn after the campus was built for the positive, to the positive. Yep.
All right. Well, that's good news. I'm sure a lot of people in that area love to hear that.
Yeah, we're very much looking forward to getting that permanent presence out here. So yeah.
All right, great. Well, Mike Gourley, I really appreciate your time. Thanks a lot for calling in, and best of luck for you.
Welcome back to Nothing Impossible on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
All right, we talk about geospatial a lot on the show because it has a bright future in St. Louis. And today we'll talk specifically about geofutures. See how we put these things together. We have Andy Deering on the line chatting with us. He is the project lead for the geofutures project here in St. Louis. Andy, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hi, Travis. Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
So, first of all, we talk about geospatial. It has a lot to do with the new NGA project that's happening in North St. Louis. But what is geofutures specifically?
So geofutures is a strategic initiative that we've gathered folks from around the community, civic entrepreneurs, academic, industry, government leaders. And really, it's creating this initiative and finishing establishing a strategic roadmap for geospatial and from an economic development and putting out some real strong goals and plans for how we can continue to grow and maintain this geospatial hub from today into the future.
And Andy, this has really begun to pick up steam, it seems like, recently. Just this past week, we've had two companies announce the establishment of one, their U.S. headquarters, and the other, a major office being opened by a Colorado-based company in St. Louis. Seems like this is really picking up right about now. Is this only going to continue to gain momentum as NGA gets even closer to becoming a reality in North St. Louis?
Absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, I think a lot of us kind of saw this potentially happening and saw this opportunity that are here. And the folks that are sitting around this GeoFutures initiative all kind of saw this, that they could play out this way. And I think the big part that we see here in the opportunity is well beyond NGA2. And there's these organizations that are moving in not only work with and for the NGA, but they also work with other organizations in and around the area and even beyond and globally and internationally. Like with Maxar and what they do for their primary mission. So it's great to see these organizations seeing the value and the potential in St. Louis and the opportunities that we have here.
Well, and speaking of people who saw potential, your former company, Geos Boundless, was in New York, and you saw the future and relocated a lot of the team here to St. Louis before you started moving on and doing things with GeoFutures. Speaking of the future, what does this look like for the future workforce, and what's the GeoFutures committee doing as it relates to prepping the talent that's needed for these jobs?
Well, it's a great question. I think what we're doing or what we're thinking about from a talent pipeline is, you know, what we one statement that was made from NGA, you know, a year and a half ago at the 2018 GeoIN Symposium was the workforce that is there today, you know, is not 40 to 50% of that workforce is not going to be there when they open their new campus doors in 2025. And so that's beyond that, and these organizations that are starting to move here and starting to set up these big hiring plans, we've got to kind of stay ahead of that. And so looking and assessing what skills are needed not only today from what the geospatial industry is, but also what's needed tomorrow and what's going to be needed in the next 5, 10, 15 years. And so part of what the committee has and the people that are sitting around the table is the K-12 and academic institutions and non-traditional institutions are all sitting around the table trying to figure out how we stay ahead of the curve and that we're building and creating the workforce and the skills that are needed to continue to put St. Louis on the map as the geospatial hub.
We're talking with Andy Deering, who's the project lead for the new GeoFutures effort in St. Louis and the advisory committee. Andy is like a who's who when it comes to the innovation community and our big tech-heavy businesses. We've got everyone from consulting firms like Booz Allen to folks from geospatial-specific firms like Maxar and Esri to St. Louis tech firms, including Worldwide Technology, the Climate Corporation, and even the universities and other educational institutions from St. Louis University to LaunchCode. Seems like everybody is on board with this effort, and we've heard so much about workforce as being the number one need, the number one priority. But what else is this advisory committee and what else is Geo Futures going to be doing to help position St. Louis for success here?
Yeah, so this effort, we're taking a similar path of what was taken 20 years ago with some of the plant and life sciences work that was done here from an economic development perspective. There was a study that was done with the Battelle study, and it really assessed, is this a ripe for the potential for this industry segment? And then all the initiatives and policies and businesses that spun out of that were all part of a centralized plan that was all brought together by a group of people and organizations that helped make that possible. We're doing that again today, 20 years later, with a new industry that we see a lot of potential in. And so a baseline study has been created and done just to say, hey, are the right ingredients here? And there is potential here. And now it's putting together a strategic plan that's not just, what do we need from workforce development? What do we need from academic? What policies need to be created? What other initiatives and entrepreneurial efforts need to be, generated and created to really make this thing build the momentum and gain the steam that we need to have that carries it not just for the next couple of years, but carries this on out for the next 20 years.
And so we've had Don Rubin, the president and CEO of BioSTL, on the show a number of times and speaking with them. And it sounds like, as you were just saying, this is almost following the same structure and model and template that BioSTL used to establish a health and life science ecosystem and really leverage that in St. Louis. And now we're doing this with geospatial, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And so, we can look back and see where BioSTL started and see where we are today in the biotech space. Since this is called Geo Futures, give us a look into the future. What does your crystal ball say? What does this look like 10, 15 years from now?
Well, the geospatial landscape, if you go back 10 to 15 years before this, it has drastically changed. And the advent of IT technologies, mobile devices, et cetera, are all very, very key and instrumental in this. And so where are we going to go in the next 10 to 15 years is where IT is going to be going. So things like artificial intelligence and machine learning will just be native and core to that. There's going to be more sensors and more ways to aggregate location-based information than before. And organizations, commercial, government, others, are going to have to figure out how to aggregate that information to be able to make more effective decisions. And so you're going to see more commercial use cases that are going to be shared publicly, privately, with government organizations and others, that in having a place where the practice and the science of being able to fully realize and make those informed decisions and algorithms and those sorts of things, that all can be happened here. And as you think about trends on autonomous vehicles and what's needed for that, location plays a primary role in that. So, optimistically, in the next 10, 15, 20 years, as these new startups are generated, as they're thinking about new ideas and new sensors or new IT models are generated, they find that, hey, St. Louis is a great home for them to build and grow their business. And we've got a great startup, infrastructure that's already here. We've got great talent pools that will already be here to where they can take that forward, and that we will be globally recognized as the leading center for location-based, information systems and technology and talent, and that even, the large businesses would be seeing us as, hey, Amazon moves their location intelligence headquarters here, and Uber moves their, autonomous vehicle systems here, because they know that we have a talent pool that will help them realize the value of what we're creating.
And Andy, when it comes to continuing on the BioSTL thread here, what are the different aspects, I guess, of Geo Futures? For instance, Bio has the education and the marketing aspect, Global STL, but then they also have direct investment, Bio Generator, helping with funding for small stage companies. And then they've just opened the new building in Cortex, providing a physical facility. Are you looking to create a similar ecosystem within the Geo Futures brand, similar to what BioSTL has done with funding and facilities and that sort of thing?
I think so. The work has already kind of been discussed and started, but part of this next phase that we're going to do within the next 6 months is really generating a report and a recommendation on what needs to be created. And so out of the Battelle report, BioSTL was a recommendation to be created and some of those things that are around there. I think, you know, what we're seeing is it's ripe for that. And personally speaking, from my experience as CEO at Boundless, trying to find investment for your organization and trying to fully understand the potential of the geospatial industry, you know, the resources are going to be there to help support these types of organizations. And we're not having to go out to investment institutions and define, well, what is geospatial? The industry is here. It's well-defined and we're helping promote it. And so I think providing those aspects is really much needed ingredient to continue to grow this ecosystem here.
All right. Well, Andy Deering, the community lead for GeoFutures. Thanks so much for
project lead.
Project lead. One of the, Andy, I'm going to be a professional one day. I promise you. All right. So thanks for joining us, Andy Deering, the project lead for GeoFutures. We're going to continue the conversation by chatting with Esri next, another company here in St. Louis that's doing a lot in the geospatial area. So stick around.
Welcome back to Nothing Impossible on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Michael and Travis with you as we continue our weekly conversation about St. Louis innovation and technology. And this week, well, this whole show is geospatial themed, but this week has really been geospatial themed. You know, in the news every morning, I feel like there's been some sort of announcement every day about a new company either expanding or setting up in St. Louis this week.
Well, and what I love about this sort of conversation is geospatial is all about location technology, and it turns out St. Louis is the location for geospatial work.
Let's find out from one of the leading companies when it comes to location intelligence. Jennifer Prather, who's the Senior Program Manager for Esri, joins us on KMOX.
Happy to be here.
And so talk about what the appeal of St. Louis is for a huge company that's in this field like Esri. Why do you feel the need to be in St. Louis?
You know, I think the driving force with the location of St. Louis is it's really the center of the U.S. It's really made it easy for us to get support to our customers, both in the region, but certainly across the country. And you can get in and out of St. Louis relatively easy. And so we're really able to support a broad user community in a variety of industries, focusing on the defense and intelligence space. I mean, NGA is building a brand new campus here in St. Louis, which is really exciting and has been a staple of the community for quite some time. But, you know, certainly opportunities, working in the agribusiness, the biotech business, utilities, departments of transportation. I mean, you name it, we got it all here in St. Louis, which makes that really exciting.
And Jennifer, for our listeners that, you know, maybe do not know what every company in St. Louis does, and it's part of our job to help tell that story and help them get excited about what some of the companies are doing here in St. Louis, tell us a little bit about Esri.
Yeah, so Esri, you know, you stated it. Esri is the global leader in location intelligence. We've been in a company for, I think this is exactly our 50th year. We're focused on both the analytics and harness the analytics, the managing of this robust amount of data that companies and users are gathering on a daily basis. It's really allowing us, it's really taking that information that everything happens in time and space and putting it in a map or in a way that you can visualize to make sense of all of this really valuable information that's out there. And so what we offer is both a web-based solution for those GIS analytics and visualization, but we also have some extremely robust desktop capabilities where if you need to take that even further, great power behind those analytics, not just, you know, the features themselves, you know, points, lines, and polygons, but certainly the imagery that's associated with that. I mean, there's so much imagery and information out there. Esri software really brings that all together in a very easy and intuitive way to use.
Every year for Christmas, my family used to get me a new version of the Rand McNally Atlas that I would keep in my car so that I have the most recent updated and data information. It's just to think about a company like Esri that's been around for 50 years, I can imagine you've seen the company has seen quite a transition in the type of work that it's doing.
Well, it certainly has. I mean, I'm a cartographer at heart. So, I mean, I started out my career making those hard copy maps. You know, there's nothing I love more than holding a map in my hand. But certainly now, you know, we have an offering that's called RTS Online, which is a cloud-based mapping and analysis solution, right? It gives you the ability to make maps, manage and analyze that data, and then really share and collaborate across the globe, which is extremely powerful. Everybody's looking at their phone these days, and something like RTS Online really brings that to the forefront, especially with, you know, this heavy focus on cloud technology. I mean, that impact has really been phenomenal.
Jennifer, can you explain? I think people can visualize, all right, maps, direction, getting around, but maybe some other examples of how geospatial technology, even where the data comes from, is it from satellites or is it tracking location on whether it's a person or it's logistics and you're tracking an item, where's the data come from? And what are some applications that are going to make people go, wow, I never even thought that that's what geospatial could be?
Yeah, you know, data can come in a variety of ways. You know, already touched on the fact that there's a lot of imagery out there. There's a lot of airborne imagery, satellite imagery. You know, data is data. Everything happens in space and time. You can add that spatial component to pretty much anything. So, you know, you can be gathering those business metrics from, you know, a lot of commercial vendors are taking advantage of GIS capabilities. You know, what types of individuals are coming to their stores? Where are they coming from? What are they purchasing? When it comes to, you know, the defense and intelligence side of the world, sure, real-time information on essentially tracking those bad guys. Where are said events happening across the globe? Where do we need to be focusing our energies? Data is just coming in from all types of avenues. But I think one area that's really of interest to us right now is, you know, our ability to have this convergence of the outdoors with the indoors. You oftentimes don't think about mapping the assets within a building. And that's really an area that has been pretty new and exciting for us is the ability to bring that mapping inside of a building, right? The ability to control temperatures, you know, in an automated fashion to understand what type of assets, infrastructure we have in a particular location within the building. What's the easiest way to get from point A to point B within a building? So those are some of the things that are pretty exciting for us. It's not just mapping outside, it's also mapping inside.
Well, and we have in St. Louis, probably now about 7 to 10 years old, IL-411, the internal, they did a lot of mapping for stores. But Lisa, I want to focus on something you said as we're wrapping up. You said everything happens in space and time. So why this space? Why this time? Why St. Louis and why now?
Yeah, you know, I am so excited about the opportunities with respect to geospatial here in St. Louis. I've been calling it the geospatial center of the world because the buzz is just so exciting over the last couple of years. You know, we certainly at Esri have a growing professional services group. We have 700 experts who are working across the United States. And, you know, we really see that opportunity to grow here, to partner closely with the great universities that are local here, to take advantage of that latest technology and cutting edge applications, and to grow that workforce so that we can reach this growing user base. Here in St. Louis, we recently hired 25 new staff members over a very short amount of time that bring a very varied range of experience, a fresh perspective to the amazing work we're doing in this region. And I just want to highlight, you know, when you think about a software company, it's not just about the developers. Yes, we're looking for those developers. Yes, we're looking for those UI, UX designers. But we're also looking for those geospatial engineers that just have a passion behind with respect to geography and GIS. We're looking for those enterprise engineers, system architects, consultants, project managers, account managers, you name it, we're looking for it. And, you know, you can apply GIS to everything and anything. So really the sky's the limit and St. Louis is ready for it.
Jennifer Prather, the Senior Program Manager for Esri, thank you for helping us understand this today.
Great. It's been so great to talk with you guys.
And Esri is a name you're going to want to remember that. You're going to be hearing about it a lot in St. Louis over the next few years. Jennifer Prather, again, thank you for joining us. And thank you, the listener, for joining us on this geospatial journey on this edition of the show.
And if you want to learn more about it, download the podcast, hang out with us on the air. We're here every Sunday.
We'll see you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.